For those of us who attended the 8 a.m. service, we had bread for breakfast. And we enjoyed that. And this morning, the gospel passage speaks to us about the bread of life. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." There was a health food restaurant with a billboard that reads, "Eat here and live a long life." Not wanting to be outdone, the barbecue place next door put up a sign saying, "Eat here and die happy." Food, glorious food. Many of us would go to different places to enjoy different kind of cuisine, and many of you are fantastic cook and bakers, and that we enjoy. For some, just looking at an apple and they feel their pants tighten. Others can eat whatever they want, pizzas, burgers, cake with ice cream, and never gain an ounce. Maybe about now, you or some of us may experience this gastrointestinal rumbling, indicative of a need of morning tea afterwards or lunch to follow. The best food is coming in a few minutes. As a backdrop, in this chapter in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, it opens with Jesus feeding 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, when the people found Jesus the next day, that's where we start with the gospel story today, they asked for another meal. They bragged that Moses gave them the bread of heaven. Then Jesus corrected them, saying, "The source of the bread was God and not Moses." God is the source of everything. We can be a lot like those people. They weren't bad people. They just wanted more food, more meals. We too always want more. But usually it's the kind of stuff that will satisfy us just for today, but leaves us wanting more tomorrow. During the COVID pandemic, shelves were barren. People panicked. People buying out supplies such as toilet paper and make sure their needs were more than taken care of. To me, is a sign of our hunger, but more our fear all at the same time. Someone by the name of Blaise Pascal said in the late 1600s, though that's some time back, "There's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each person which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ." And I think that is a good sentence and summary of the message I believe we can take out of this gospel story. Let me share a few points out of this passage. First, hungering, but missed the point. Hungering, but missed the point. these people described to us, they were moved to seek Jesus. They were searching him out because their bellies were full the day before and they wanted more. They wanted the food that Jesus provided. Not because their heart so much yearned for Jesus. Some of them were, but many were not. Jesus effectively tells them, hey, you're looking for me because I fed you a nice big meal. But you missed the point. You missed the sign of what it's telling you. Don't spend so much of our time worrying about our 3 square meal a day. Instead, concern ourselves with the food of heaven, the food of eternal, the food that lasts. The second point is working, but miss the point. Working, but miss the point. They ask, what do we have to do to work for this eternal life, this good stuff, this food stuff that we need to work for? There's no amount of good that you and I can do to make it up to God for the bad that we might have done. If we have gotten 20 rotten eggs in a pan, we can't throw in another 40 and make the massive omelette a good one. Jesus points out to them the fact that the initial good work that they may or can do is no work at all. But simply put, their faith in their trust in Jesus. So hungering but miss the point. Working but miss the point. And the third point is looking but miss the point. The Jews were always looking for a sign. It's in this chapter. Give us a sign and we will believe. Seeing is believing, was the motto. It is still so for many people today. But Jesus says, believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. Doesn't that hit home for many of us? We go about hungering when we really hunger is for a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We want this bread that Jesus has, but what will it mean for our lives when we take that bread? How much do I need to submit to Jesus as Lord and Savior when we receive and accept that bread, which we will later do as part of our weekly Eucharist, the Lord's Supper? Will I really need to change my life as I partake in the Holy Communion? Jesus is offering us life, all of us, and many, many people, life. Yet, we run around trying to satisfy our own appetite. The Messiah is not going to save the world by miraculous band-aid interventions. A storm come here or there, a crowd fed here or there, a mother-in-law killed here or there. Rather, it was going to be saved by means of a deeper, mysterious, but at the center of which lays the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a mystery, but that is what Christ was sent into the world. Jesus didn't come to use his hands to miraculously make bread. He came so that those hands could receive the executioner's nail, and so his body could be broken for the salvation of the world. Jesus didn't come to make bread. He is the bread. He is the bread for us all. And for most people, bread is a staple. We eat that almost every day. Central to the daily menu and essential to our life. By referring himself as the bread of life, Jesus is saying he is essential. He is important. He is part of our daily living. And we need to take that bread and take it seriously. Let me bring all that together. What to do with bread? You eat it. You eat it. After a few days, it goes stale and you may try to toast it. But then beyond that, you probably have to chuck it. You eat it when it's fresh. You eat it when it's good. And you eat it and eat it. Have you ever walked through a bakery? We tried out a bakery in Arrow Valley. They call Arrow Bake. Nice, nice stuff there. I enjoyed that. And fresh, you can sit down to eat and you can buy out and you take it home and you can enjoy it. It's fine to walk through and look at bread or even smell the bread and all of that. But that's not the ultimately what bread is for. Bread is not baked so that we can just smell it or contemplate on it. Bread is not baked so that we can consider them at a distance. Bread is baked for us to eat, to consume, to take in, to ingest, to enjoy, taste it. We eat the bread, and that's what it's for. Therefore, Jesus is saying it is to take him into us, to take his word as our food, his spirit as the air that we breathe, his will as the determining factor of the course of our life, every day, every other day. And so, my brothers and sisters, this morning, I invite you to do what the Bible tells us to do. Taste it. Taste Jesus. Taste the Word of God. That need to be our part of our diet. To taste it, to see it, that the Lord is good. The bread of life. He is good. There's old saying, you are what you eat. And I think it applies here. How is your diet this morning? How is your diet? God's word this morning. What are we hungering for? Are we hungering for God's provision like those people want more meals? Or are we hungering for Jesus, the bread of life? Are we hungering for the temporary, or are we hungering for something that is eternal? Are we hungering for the flesh that the world gives, or hungering for things that is of the spirit? Let me finish up with a story or a parable or whatever you may like to call it. It is titled, The Beggar and the Bread. The Beggar and the Bread. And I'm going to tell this as a first person. A beggar came and sat before me. I want bread, he said. Oh, how wise you are, I assured him. Bread is what you need, and you have come to the right bakery. So I pulled up my cookbook down from my shelf and began to tell him all I knew about bread. I spoke of flour and wheat, of grain and barley. My knowledge impressed even me as I cited the measurement and recipe. And when I looked up, I was surprised to see the beggar wasn't smiling. I just want bread, he said. How wise you are. I applaud his choice. Follow me and I will show you my bakery. Down the hollow pores, I guided him, pausing to point out the rooms where the dough is prepared and the ovens where the bread is baked. No one has such facilities. We have bread for every need. But he is the best part. I proclaim as I push open two swinging doors, this is our room of inspiration. I knew he was moved as we stepped into the auditorium full of stained glass windows. The beggar didn't speak. I understood his silence. With my arm around his shoulder, I whispered, "It overwhelms me as well." I then leaped into the podium and struck my favorite pose behind the lectern. And people come from miles to hear me speak. Once a week, my workers gather, and I read to them the recipe from the cookbook of life. By now, the beggar had taken a seat on the front row. I knew what he wanted. "Would you like to hear from me?" "No," he said, "but I would like some bread." "How wise you are," I replied. And I led him to the front door of the bakery. "What I have to say next is very important," I told him as we stood outside. "Up and down the street you will find many bakeries. But take heed, they don't serve the true bread. I know of one who adds two spoons of salt rather than one. I know of another whose oven is 3 degrees too hot. They may call it bread, I warned you, but it's not according to the book." The beggar turned and began walking away. "Don't you want bread?" I asked him. He stopped, looked back at me, and shrugged. I guess I lost my appetite. I shook my head and returned to my office. "What a shame," I said to myself. "The world just isn't hungry for true bread anymore." Well, with that, I leave with you.